During the last few months, I've been preaching from the book of Genesis on the patriarchs. And now we're down to Jacob and his son. And I got up to chapter 43. And so I will read this to you. And it's quite long. It'll take about 5 minutes. I want to read it to you. And then for the Lord's Day evening, consider Joseph and his brethren. Just remember that when you read portions like this, it is not doctrinal, but devotional. That's the approach. And so, at times we need things for our minds, and at times we need things for our hearts. And so, this kind of scripture lends itself to a devotional treatment, and that's the way we shall take it. Genesis 43. And the famine was sore in the land. And it came to pass, when they had eaten up the grain which they had brought out of Egypt, their father said unto them, Go again, buy us a little food. And Judah spake unto him, saying, The man did solemnly protest unto us, saying, Ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. If thou wilt send our brother with us, we will go down and buy thee food. But if thou wilt not send him, we will not go down. For the man said unto us, Ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. And Israel said, Wherefore dealt ye so ill with me, as to tell the man whether he had yet a brother? And they said, The man asked straitly concerning ourselves and concerning our kindred, saying, Is your father yet alive? Have ye another brother? And we told him according to the tenor of these words. Could we in any wise know that he would say, Bring your brother down? And Judah said unto Israel his father, Send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and thou, and also our little one. I will be surety for him. Of my hand shalt thou require it. If I bring him not unto thee, and set him before thee, then let me bear the blame forever. For, except we had lingered, surely we had now returned a second time. And their father Israel said unto them, If it be so now, do this. Take up the choice fruits of the land in your vessels, and carry down the man a present, a little balm and a little honey, spices and myrrh, nuts and almonds, and take double money in your hand, and the money that was returned in the mouth of your sacks, carry again in your hand. Peradventure, it was an oversight. Take also your brother, and arise, go again unto the man, and God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may release unto you your other brother and Benjamin. And if I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. And the men took that present, and they took double money in their hand, and Benjamin, and rose up and went down to Egypt, and stood before Joseph. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the steward of his house, Bring the man into the house, and slay, and make ready, for the man shall dine with me at noon. And the man did as Joseph bade, and the man brought the men to Joseph's house. And the men were afraid because they were brought to Joseph's house, and they said, Because of the money that was returned in our sacks at the first time are we brought in, that he may seek occasion against us, and fall upon us, and take us for bondmen and our asses. And they came near to the steward of Joseph's house, and they spake unto him at the door of the house, and said, O my Lord, we came indeed down at the first to buy food, and it came to pass, When we came to the lodging place, that we opened our sack, and behold, every man's money was in the mouth of his sack, our money in full weight, and we have brought it again in our hand. And other money have we brought down in our hand to buy food. We know not who put our money in our sack. And he said, peace be to you. Fear not. Your God and the God of your father hath given you treasure in your sack. I had your money. And he brought Simeon out unto them. And the man brought the men into Joseph's house and gave them water. And they washed their feet, and he gave their asses provender. And they made ready the present against Joseph coming at noon, for they heard that they should eat bread there. And when Joseph came home, they brought him the present which was in their hand into the house, and bowed down themselves to him to the earth. And he asked of their welfare, and said, is your father well? The old man of whom you spake, is he yet alive? And they said, thy servant our father is well, he is yet alive. And they bowed the head and made obeisance. And he lifted up his eyes and saw Benjamin his brother, his mother's son, and said, is this your youngest brother of whom you spoke unto me? And he said, God be gracious unto thee, my son. And Joseph made haste, for his heart yearned over his brother, and he sought where to weep, and he entered into his chamber and wept there. And he washed his face and came out, and he refrained himself and said, set on bread. And they set on for him by himself, and for them by themselves, and for the Egyptians that did eat with him by themselves. Because the Egyptians might not eat bread with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination unto the Egyptians. And they sat before him, the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. And the men marveled one with another. And he took and sent messes unto them from before him. But Benjamin's mess was five times so much as any of theirs. And they drank and were merry with him. Let us speak to God again. We pray. Our Father, how long ago these things of which we read took place, and yet thou hast told us that they could have taken place yesterday among our friends. We are thankful for the living Word of God, its timelessness. We are thankful that we are able to relate to this incident that we have read as much as any that we read in the newspapers that come to us, to our home. And our Father, we are thankful that thou hast shown us the difference between this narrative and those things told us by men. Thou hast known that we have been thrilled by the novels that ordinary authors had written. We are thankful that this man who wrote this was guided by thy Spirit, and there are eternal lessons contained in it, and we desire to learn them. And so teach us thy ways through the way that thou didst deal with thy servant of old. Prepare our hearts, one and all, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. I must give you a little background. You're probably familiar with the story of Joseph being sold into Egypt and how finally he was brought out of prison to interpret the dream of Pharaoh. And he spoke about 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. And at this point, the 7 years of plenty had passed and 1 year of famine had set in. And that famine was so severe that even up in Hebron, where Jacob and his son lived, it was felt there. And they had to send down the first time into Egypt, and so Jacob sent down 10 of his sons, all of them except Benjamin, and when they came down, Joseph recognized them. And inasmuch as this is recorded elsewhere, you different assemblies will have to send to different assemblies if you want to know the whole story. I can't fill in all the details, or I would never finish. Anyway, Joseph had intended at first, it seems, to keep 9 of them captive and send 1 of them home to get Benjamin, the youngest brother, to see if there were any truth in the story that they were telling. But finally, he decided to keep 1 of them, Simeon, and let 9 of them go back home and bring back their youngest brother, Benjamin. And that is the way it was. And so the brothers come home, and they tell their father of the situation, and then they tell him that unless he wants to see Simeon again, he must send Benjamin down. And the last words in chapter 42 were these. He said, "My son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he only is left. And if harm befall him by the way in which you go, then will he bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave." And that's how it was in chapter 42, a year ago. But in Pharaoh's dream, the famine was to continue 7 years. And it had continued for 1 year, and they went down and got food. And now all of that food that they got the first year has been eaten up, and the second year of famine has come upon them. And so Jacob had said, "My son is not going down." But then he wants something to eat, and there's no food for his beasts of burden. And so he finally says a year later, "Go down into Egypt and buy us a little food." He said this hoping that perhaps they would forget that they had to take Benjamin with them. But the first thing that Judah reminds him of is, the man straightly told us, "You shall not see my face unless you bring your youngest brother with you." And then Jacob becomes upset. And what is so delightful in this account is the long conversations that they have with one another. Now this is a marvel. That this book that has so little information about essential things has so much apparently unnecessary conversation. I could wish that the Bible were filled with more information, but instead God fills it with conversation, because he wants us to know about the characters of men as well as about the teachings concerning other doctrinal matters. And the character is brought out of these individuals in their conversation. And I cannot help but laugh at this old man Jacob when he says to his son, "Now, you told me that Benjamin had to be taken down." He said, "Wherefore dealt ye so ill with me as to tell the man whether you had yet a son?" And they said, "We didn't know that the man was going to tell us to bring your son down into Egypt. We were just answering questions." And so this conversation is going on, and you can sit back and laugh, because you know what's going on in the mind of Jacob and what is going on in the mind of his son. And so these are delightful insights as to the way people spoke back then. Joseph said that Benjamin must be brought down, and Jacob now sees that it is inevitable. But before he lets the inevitable take place, he's going to criticize them and ask them, "Why did you do this to me? Why have you dealt so ill with me?" And all of this goes on. But finally, at the last, he says, "If this be the case." Now, I want you to think on that for a while. If this be the way things are, then I suppose that you will have to send Benjamin down. It was the case in chapter 42 a year ago. But Jacob, as well as you and I, when a pressing situation is upon us, we hope that somehow it will go away. But he waits and waits, but instead of going away, it does not go away. And the famine continues. And then a year later, He says, go down and get some food, hoping that they will not remember to take Benjamin. And then that continued situation comes before him again. And that's when he becomes irritated and speaks the way he does to his son. Why, how is it that you dealt so ill with me? And this is the conversation that is going on. Now, I'm so glad in one sense that I was not a part of this family. How would you like it? You see, when they left, Joseph saw to it that before their eyes, their brother Simeon was bound and cast into prison. And so they brought home and forgotten about him for a year. And unless the famine had come upon them, they never would have gone back again. You see what they thought about Joseph earlier. And now here is Simeon, who is in prison, and he's forgotten about. And poor Simeon would have stayed down there forever. But what happens is this. God uses circumstances to make us do the things that we should do, but that we ordinarily would not do. And that is why, so often, in the lives of sinners, God puts more and more pressure upon them, because they know what the situation is. You must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter. He cannot see the kingdom of God. And a man keeps trying and trying and trying, and there is no peace in his heart. And finally he understands that the case is this, and it's the only way he's ever going to get any peace or deliverance. And then he has to act because of the continued condition that exists. And it's the way throughout the lives of the people of God. Samson was supposed to be a protector of the children of Israel. He was supposed to fight against their enemies, the Philistines. But unless he had been a man of the lust of the flesh, he would never have fought against the Philistines. But when the Philistines interfered with his love life, he would go out and kill them and destroy them. And so that's the way that God had to work. If God had left him alone, he never would have done the work of God. And in like manner, the prophecy that the Lord made to Abraham in Genesis chapter 15, it never would have come to pass unless God had sent these circumstances upon them. Unless, of course, God is going to hypnotize the people and make them act as robots, but this is not the way God does things. He lets circumstances arise and continue, and then all that he said was going to happen begins to happen, and it all falls into place. And so a year goes by, and if they had had grain to last them 2 years, 2 years would have gone by, but they could only bring so much grain back from Egypt to eat and to feed their stock with. And so after about a year's time, then it runs out, and Jacob sees the inevitable, and if he says, if this is the way things are, if this is the case, then I suppose I will have to send my son Benjamin down. Now I told you about his son, how they cared nothing for Joseph. They would have killed him, but instead they sold him for 20 pieces of silver. And as for Simeon, he's lying bound in prison for a year. And as for Jacob, he tells his son so plainly, when he had 11 sons, he had one favor. That brothers could see that he loved Joseph more than the rest of them. He gave Joseph a special coat of many colors. It was evident. And now he says to them, he said, I don't care about the 10 of you. He said, I've got one son, Benjamin. He is the one that I love most of all. I'm not going to let him go down. It's evident in what order he loved his son. And so this is the family that you're in. What a psychologist would have to tell Jacob. You're to treat your sons fairly. You're not to let one know that you love him more than the other. Makes no difference. Jacob loved Joseph, and when Joseph died, I loved Benjamin. Now, if the rest of you died, I don't know what would happen to me, but if Benjamin dies, I will go down to the grave with gray hair in sorrow. And so this is the family of Jacob and his son. But finally, circumstances pressure him, and he has to send his son Benjamin down. Now, it's so funny the way that they speak of Joseph. His name, his new name, was Zaphnath-Paneah. That was the new name that they gave him. Do you remember how that when Daniel, Mishael, Azariah, and so forth, when they were taken captive, they were given new names. And in like manner, Joseph has been given a new name, but they refer to him by his name. They keep referring to him as the man, the man, the man. What man? Why, that ominous, mysterious individual down there that seems to know so much about us, to treat us kindly and then to treat us severely. We can't figure that man out at all. And so they address him again and again as the man. And everybody knows who the man is in Egypt. He's the one who controls all the distribution of the grain. And that's the way that they refer to it. And so now, if Jacob says, if this is the case, and it must be, he starts thinking again. He has done all in his power to prevent Benjamin being taken away from him and taken down into Egypt. But he can't avoid that. And so finally, he says, since this is the case, this is my plan. Now, it is Jacob up to his old tricks again. You remember when he had to meet his brother Esau? He said, I will appease him with a present. And he gets all of these animals and he sends them out as a present. He said, when he sees the animals, then he won't be angry with me. He will accept me. And now he says, you've got to take Benjamin down, but this is what you do. He said, carry down a present to the man. A little balm, a little honey, spicery and myrrh, nuts and almonds, and take double money. You see, he's going to ingratiate himself by this present that he's sending down. He, if he is pressured into doing something he doesn't want to do, he's making a hedge against eventualities. And so he's going to send down presents of the land. You might ask this question, well, if there is a famine, where is all of this coming from? Well, these are things that could keep things that were particular growth and special products of the land. And by the way, this word is a special word. It says, of the choice fruits of the land. It's really a song of the land. It's something that people sing praises about the land, about the special things. Like down south, we have certain things that do not grow up north, and we sing praises about those things. They said, take some of these things. Perhaps they were left over from those 7 years of plenty. And so he says, take some of these things down to the man. And so they had no grain. That grain grew in Egypt, and now the famine especially affects this. But they have some of these presents that they're going to send down left over. And so that is what they do. And so he says, and this is the way he puts it, he says, and if I am bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. But before he says that, he takes the second precaution. He always does two things. Why, Jacob is the ideal man who is an example of what I hear the world saying all the time. You tell the world, trust God, have faith in God, and they'll say, God helps those who help themselves. And so in like manner, here is Jacob who is helping himself with his presence, but having done all that he can, he says, and God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may release unto you your other brother and Benjamin. And so here he is. He's doing everything in his power, and then he says, and God Almighty give you mercy before the man. Well, that is fine. It would be good if we were able to simply trust in God and not at all trust in the gift that we send to man, but it's not always possible to do that. And at times, God may use these gifts. And so, in a good sense, the Lord does help those who help themselves. But if they think that they can take these gifts down and give them to Joseph and leave Benjamin behind, they are mistaken. It has to be these gifts plus Benjamin plus God causing you to experience mercy with the man. And so that's what I do in life. I do everything I can to ingratiate myself into the hearts of men. I do not go and insult them and say, now God, you take care of my rudeness and my improper behavior. By no means. You do everything you can, and you trust God to bless you. That's what we should do. And you put more on God's working things out. You do all in your power. Having done all, then you stand and trust God. And this is what Jacob did. Whatever emphasis he might place upon his gifts, or upon God using those gifts, whatever emphasis he places, at least he has done both. And that is his prayer. God Almighty, give you mercy before the man, that he may release unto you your brother and Benjamin. And so Simeon is bound. He's waiting in the prison now in Egypt, and I wonder what he's thinking about day by day. Perhaps his hopes of being released are gone because he knows the hearts of his brothers. He knows what he would do if he weren't in prison and his brothers, or he was back in the land, and no doubt he's down there saying, well, I'm going to be a prisoner forever. I don't know if I'll ever see them again. Perhaps he was praying that the famine would continue so that they would have to come back again. And so here it is, and now they leave Hebron and they come down to the land of Egypt. And when they do, this is the marvel, that Joseph is a man of action. Wherever he's found, he is always a man of action, a man who is able to give guidance, leadership. The man is energetic. Why, when he is a slave, Potiphar turns his whole household over to him. When he's in prison, finally the head man of the prison turns everything over to Joseph. And when Pharaoh listens to him, Pharaoh turns everything over to him. And it is not a misplaced confidence, because you find him filled with energy and activity and ability, and he is the one who is the savior of the world, because he is providing sustenance for them when there's going to be a famine. He has a cumin, and at the same time, he has interpreted power. And he knows what's going to happen to the world, and he knows how to avert disaster. Here is the most gifted man. And Pharaoh sees it. Everyone that sees him says, this man has the Spirit of God in him. You take charge of the situation. I wish there were one in every assembly in the land. It would be so delightful. I have no leadership ability, anything like unto this. I let those that have them run things. Because it speaks about elders that rule well, and it speaks about elders that are apt to teach, and so forth. And so certain men have certain capabilities, and Joseph was one who had the greatest of capabilities. And this is the marvel, that when people come from foreign lands, he does not leave the business to some inferior, but he's right there. And when any strangers come from foreign lands, he looks them over, and sure enough, he's on the job early in the morning, distributing grain to all the people that are coming. And as soon as his brothers come, he recognizes them. And he sees Benjamin, his brother, as well. Now, I think I would completely break down and take the day off. But it's early in the morning, and he simply turns to his assistant, and he says, I'm going to be home at noon. You go and get things ready. I'm going to eat with these men that have come down. Now that's a remarkable man. And he goes on and works the rest of the day and only comes home at noon to eat. How remarkable is this man? And so when they learn that they're going to be taken to Joseph's house, then they're guilty consciously. And let me tell you, what happened in this other chapter was Joseph testing them. He wanted to see if their murderous intent had been repented of. And in chapter 42, they found out that it had. They had repented. They said, we saw the travail of his soul, and when he besought us to have mercy upon him, we would not hear. And so, for all of these years, they have never forgotten what they did to their brother, Joseph. But Joseph is putting them to other tests. And their conscience is never at peace. And so now they think back again. And whenever anything like this happens, why, I would think, why, I'm invited to eat with the man. He's going to be gracious to me. But instead they say, the man knows that our money was found in the sack, and he's going to accuse us of being thieves. The first time he accused us of being spies, and now he's going to accuse us of being thieves, and he's going to make us bondmen and take our animals. Oh, dear. And so they go with fear and trembling to Joseph's house. And then they come with this obsequious explanation of what happened in the past. Now, we came down and money was found in our sacks. Now, think if you had to tell that story. Now, the money that I gave to you, I don't know how it happened, but the money I gave to you is in the sack when I was on the way home, and yet they have to tell this story. And so they're filled with fear and apprehension, and they don't know what is happening. And suddenly, when they tell the man this story, he said, I know. He said, I had your money, and God gave you back your treasure. And so they're constantly bewildered by all of these things that happen. They cannot understand their good fortune and their ill fortune. They're unable to interpret these things. And now, what they thought was going to be severe turns out to be a blessing. Now, poor Simeon is brought out of prison and released. And so now, all of these brothers are together again. 11 brothers, and they are brought in, and they are introduced to Joseph, because finally 12 o'clock comes, and Joseph comes home, and he walks in, and he has perfect composure, except for the tenderness and love that are in his heart. And the only time he cannot control himself is when he looks in the face of his full brother, Benjamin. And that's when he breaks down. He does a good job at first when he comes in. Here is this gift from the land. Think of this. Now, some of you Southerners may have been up north, and you then are separated from the things that we eat down south for so long a time. And then after all of these years, here come things that were your customary food for all the days of your youth, and they're before you. And Joseph is able to disregard that gift. And then he says, tell me about the old man, your father. Is he yet alive? Yes, he's yet alive. And this is the younger brother you told me about? And evidently they nod the head. And then he looks and he tries to give a fatherly blessing. God be with you, my son. And then he breaks down. He can control himself no more. And he rushes out of the room and he weeps. But then he washes his face and he comes back in, and then he starts another conversation. And this is so interesting. It tells us about the customs in Egypt. It tells us that the Egyptians had a caste system. And now, Joseph has been given a priest's daughter, and he's been elevated to the second highest place in the land, and so he eats by himself at a table, and the other Egyptian guests eat at a table by themselves, and then the lowest in the caste system, these Hebrews, they eat by themselves. And so do not think that when it says in John 4, the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. It's the Jews who have no dealings with the Samaritans. And if you're in Egypt, the Egyptians have no dealing with the Hebrews. It's this way everywhere you go. And it may be the whites have no dealings with the blacks. And then if you go up among the blacks would have no dealings with the whites. It is universal, this caste system. People feeling that they're better than others, and they will not eat with certain individuals. And so it was in Egypt. Now, they finally have been unsettled, and then they're settled, and they think that they're going to be made bondmen, but then peace be unto you. You are God, the God of your fathers. They hear these words of peace spoken to them by Joseph's steward. And now they are at peace when they find out that they're not going to be sold into bondage until they are seated at the table, and they notice that it's in this order. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and on down until they come to Benjamin. And they say, why, isn't that coincidence? Why, everyone according to his birth, we are seated this way around the table. How is it that this man knows all of these things? Is it an accident that it happens? And now Joseph constantly keeps them off balance. And so, at this time, now they're afraid and they marvel at the man, but they take the food that he sends to them, and they eat it, and it says, they ate, and they drank, and they were merry with him. And that's how the chapter ends, and that's all that I want to tell you tonight. And so thus far in the life of Joseph and his brethren, let us pray. Our Father, we are so thankful for these delightful histories that thou dost give us about thy dealings with the children of men. We are thankful that we have seen the end of the Lord. We are thankful that we have seen that the hearts of some men change. Alas, some shall never change. But we are thankful that even those that had hatred and jealousy and murder in their youth can in their old age be convicted by their conscience, and they can change. We think of some who are here, who perhaps in their youth hated their brothers and sisters. We pray that as time goes on, there shall be a mellowing, and they shall understand about these things, and they shall be brought together again. We pray, Father, that as it says that when Elijah comes, and when John the Baptist came, he would turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers. And so we pray that as we read of this, there shall be an impetus in our hearts by thy Spirit, if it's possible, scripturally allowable, to love and embrace and receive into our hearts those that are our kin by blood. Thou dost know how we are. There is no difference between us and Joseph and his brethren. But we pray, Father, that brotherly love shall continue. So teach us the lessons that thou dost have contained in this chapter, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.